Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who opens the heavens and draws near to us with salvation. God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting his promise of grace, let us confess our sin. I encourage you to read from the screen. It is not normal. Everlasting God, you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways for the sake of our waiting world. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I dare declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. Be your merciful protection. Awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins. And keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and you have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember our iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to read with me responsively Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. You have fed them with bread of tears. You have given them tears to drink in full measure.
You made us the sword of our neighbors. Our enemies hide among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself.
Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because you of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge and every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its lights, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things take place, you will know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated, and you may keep awake during my sermon, please. As a kid, I absolutely loved Advent. I mean, we were literally counting down the days until we got a bunch of presents. I mean, what kid doesn't love that? Maybe I was a little unclear on what we were counting down to, but I remember marking this time, this counting down, in two ways. First, y'all remember these things? Make them in Sunday school, and then you'd tear the little thing, like, oh, it's December 1st, and you tear one off, and then you tear them all off, and then there's no construction paper chain left, right? Or we would have this Advent wreath, and at my house, they were wax candles, so you'd light the first candle, second, third, and the fourth, and by the time you're on to the fourth week, there's nothing but an itty-bitty little nub, and as a kid, you're like, oh my gosh, it's almost Christmas. It's almost time for presents. Again, maybe I don't fully understand or didn't fully understand at that time what Advent was all about. But I loved Advent as a kid because it stood as a season where we counted down to Christmas. The presents. And, you know, something else in there that it's escaping me right now. But don't get me wrong. That main event, that birth of Jesus Christ, Christ being made, God being made incarnate on this earth, it is very, very important. But Advent isn't just Christmas's preseason. Anybody here watch football? No one cares about the preseason in the NFL. We should care about Advent a lot more than we care about the NFL preseason. Advent anticipates Christmas. But Advent is a season, a very important season unto itself. And I've grown to love Advent for exactly what it is. And you might be saying, well, Sean, it's been a year. What is Advent? I'll open it up to answers. Anyone? Who said it? Waiting? It is a time of waiting. The time of waiting. We wait in Advent. Now, what do we wait for in Advent? Jesus. Jesus. Now, here is what I never fully understood about Advent, even a few years ago, but especially as a kid. I always thought we were just marking time to when we would once again commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ. And on the surface, that is very true. That is what Advent is about. But it goes far beyond that, doesn't it? I mean, listen to the readings we had today. What are we really, as Christians, waiting for? What do we really, as Christians, long for? In Mark's apocalyptic gospel today, Jesus tells us this. He says, we're waiting for heaven and earth to pass away. And while that may sound very scary to some, I think that is heaven and earth not being separate, but one. What would that look like? For heaven and earth to become one. A world where war and suffering are maybe supplanted by justice and mercy. A justice and mercy that is only available to us in Christ's return. We wait during Advent and at all times, but especially during Advent, for Christ to return and reign over a world that he himself reconciled to God through his death and resurrection. So here we are. We mark another Advent. We drug this wreath out again. I saw Mike carry it up. Looked very heavy. I think it was Mike. We have this chain of whatevers again. We got the decorations up again. And still we wait impatiently. I love Advent, though, because it feels like the words of the prophets. It feels like the words of the psalmist today in their own impatient waiting could come from our very own lips. They cry out in loud lamentation. They accuse God. They accuse God of turning away from God's people, as the psalmist does today. Did you hear that? I think Kevin read it for us. You make us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Maybe we read that part. That's an accusation against God. And from the prophet Isaiah, for you have hidden your face from us, God. That's an accusation against God. You have abandoned us, God. Where are you, God? We need you, God. But you hide your face. You cry out. They cry out. And I ask you, have you ever cried out to a God like this? To God like this? I have. I do it every morning when I listen to the radio, actually to a podcast on my phone, but I listen to the news and I hear the news. And I don't know why I punish myself by listening to the news, but I want to stay tapped in to the world because I feel like that's my job as a pastor. And every morning I cry out, where are you, God? There are rockets and bombs raining on literal people in this world, your people. Violence. There's the taking of hostages, the killing of innocents. We had this tenuous peace, this tenuous truce. It ended too early. Children and infants, evil and justice and injustice reigns. Not you, God. Where are you? Every morning, these thoughts cross my mind. But on the bright side, this pain and suffering, it seems so very far away, doesn't it? It's so far away from my own life. But in the worst of times, we experience similar pain and suffering, don't we? When we say, why, God? Why would you take a child from me? Why, God, would you take my husband, my wife, from me when they had so much life in them? A child when they had so much life in them. And as adults, we might feel guilty about this lament, as if we sinned by accusing and questioning God. But do you know who doesn't have our adult filter? Me, but also a seven-year-old. Have you ever been a newly ordained pastor and had a seven-year-old ask you a question, your own seven-year-old, that you just can't answer? Because it's a really hard question. Why did God invent cancer? Oh, it was Lydia? All right, an 11-year-old who also has no filter. Why did God invent cancer? I thought it was your brother. I'm sorry. Anyway, it happened just a few weeks ago, but it's an honest lamentation. It's an honest crying out. It's someone yelling, "Take this disease from us, God. It doesn't belong in this world. It doesn't belong with your people. Why do you let cancer happen to your people?" It's an honest crying out of bring heaven to this earth here and now and get rid of the diseases. Get rid of the death. Get rid of the destruction. And I guess an 11-year-old asks that question and doesn't feel guilty about it. Do you feel guilty? No, because we don't understand it. And we shouldn't apologize for these crying outs, these prayers, because they're faithful prayers. They're faithful prayers because these prayers acknowledge a God that shouldn't want these things to happen to God's people. And while a 7-year-old or an 11-year-old might not be able to grasp this deeper meaning of Advent that I'm talking about, I think that same 7-year-old or 11-year-old or 10-year-old is able to teach us that it is okay to hate pain, to hate suffering, to hate injustice in this world, that it is okay to say, "How long, God?" That 7-year-old can teach us how we as Christians are to wait. We don't wait just saying, "Oh, it's okay that all of this stuff happens." No, we wait urgently. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Urgent waiting. We cry out in the words of Isaiah, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, God, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. Make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations, all that are complicit in death, destruction, violence, injustice might tremble and fall at your feet, might tremble at injustice, and might tremble in your presence." We cry along with the psalmist, who Kevin read it twice for us, and he got louder each time. He said, "Restore us, O God." And then he said, "Restore us, O God of hosts." Until in the last verse, we responded, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we might be saved." That is a cry for help, a cry of faith. And when we see and when we experience pain and suffering and injustice, these are our cries. This is urgent and faithful waiting. And I think these prayers and these cries are at times an admission of our, just a little bit, our own sinfulness. Because as we confess today, and we confess every Sunday, we are complicit in either causing or allowing pain and suffering and injustice to prevail by what we have done and by what we have left undone. And these cries are an admission of our human inadequacy. As in, we as humans can't make this better. We can maybe make it better, but we are never going to bring heaven on this earth. Peace and justice and mercy can never fully reign until Christ returns, until heaven and earth pass away, and you make it on earth as it is in heaven, God, because we as humans can't do it. As an adult, I love Advent because it is a both and season. Yes, we urgently wait for Christ to return. We are promised that Christ will return. We cry out, "Come quickly and save us." And Advent is also about what I thought it was as a child. Well, not the presents part. Advent is the time that we prepare ourselves to welcome the Christ child, a time we prepare ourselves to celebrate the first coming of Christ.
a coming that ushered in this age, the new and present age, where we live in hope. But not just any hope. The hope that we have in this age is in audacious hope. In the old age, the age where sin and death have the last word, that age has passed away, and it's never coming back. It can't come back. There is no going back to this age. Let me demonstrate this for you. Lydia, you awake? You want to show us how an excited little kid opens a present on Christmas Day? Get up here and do it. Hurry up. Sermon's long enough already. Rip it open. Do you do it nice and carefully so you can reuse the wrapping paper? No, you rip it open. Just rip it open. See? That. You see that wrapping paper? That's how we open presents, isn't it? Now, have you ever seen an excited little kid open a box of Great Value Toasted Eggs? I have to ask them. Do they open it nice and carefully on the top and they break the glue so you can tuck the flap back in? No! Because they want the cereal to get stale. So they're like, yeah, I'm going to get the cereal out. And they tear it. Foretaste of the feast to come. Have you ever seen a child open a bag of cereal? How do they do it? Do they open it at the top so you can fold it back under? Or do they rip it open?
Dad, stop.
They rip it open! They rip it open! Now, I have to ask you. Should have said the front couple rows are a splash zone. Now, I have to ask, are those fake Cheerios ever going back in this bag? Is this bag ever going back into this torn open box? Is that torn open box ever going back into this wrapping paper? No! Of course not. Look at that box of cereal. It's not going to happen. These off-brand Cheerios are never getting back into a neatly wrapped box. And as Christians, we believe that the Christ child was the answer to the prophet Isaiah's lament, "Tear open the heavens, O God." The heavens were torn open, and there is no going back, because the tearing open changed everything. God tore open the heavens, and the veil between heaven and earth was irreparably torn. God is loose in this world, just like these knockoff Cheerios are loose in this sanctuary. Well, I didn't do it. God made himself loose in this world, Mike.
No, we all see you loose.
But you cannot escape our God. Our God is everywhere. I mean, come up here and try not to step on these Cheerios. I'm trying not to do it, and I am stepping on every single one of them. This heaven-tearing, on-the-loose God is here and now. This heaven-tearing, on-the-loose God is inescapable, and that allows us to live in the here and now with an audacious hope, a hope that trusts that our cries and our prayers and our laments are heard. It allows us to stay awake in this time of waiting, to stay awake to the cries of our friends, to the cries of our loved ones, to the cries of our neighbors, and yes, to the cries of our enemies when they experience pain and suffering and injustice in this world. We stay awake with them because it is in them and through them that we experience God. That was the inverse of how you're used to hearing it. It is in and through others that we experience God. And it is in and through others that others experience God through us. It is in and through others, it is in and through others that we experience the face of Jesus Christ. And it is in and through others that they experience Christ in and through us. Not just at the second coming, which we do pray for, but here and now, out there in the world and in here. This is what I call urgent waiting. This is keeping awake to our neighbor, to our enemy. And when we do that, we are keeping awake to our God. The heavens have been torn open, and there is no going back to the way it was before. Look at the Cheerios. Lydia, you're eating God. Which, you know, we believe in, actually. They're everywhere, and so is God. And God is with each and every one of us. So we are sustained in this urgent waiting. In this new and present, yet still imperfect age. God came, was here, is here, but this age is still imperfect. But it's better than that old age where there was no hope. And God is on the loose in this world. And our God is a loose in the world God, yet always with us living God. And that's the same God that heard the prophets and psalmists of old and answered their prayers by tearing open, by ripping open the heavens. The same God that hears and answers our prayers. My siblings in Christ, there is no going back. And therefore we rest in the sure and certain hope, the sure and certain audacious hope that Isaiah's God, that the psalmist's God, that our God will and does hear our prayers, and that Jesus will return to claim his throne as an answer to our plea. Let your face shine on us, O Lord. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts, that we might be saved. And it is for this audacious hope made available in and through Jesus Christ that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. You guys saying I'll work on this shovel to clear the royal highway for you to come up for communion.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was
buried.
With hope and expectation, we offer prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration.
All creation signals your presence, O God. From the vastness of the cosmos to the fruits of the earth that provide sustenance for your people. As the harvesting of fields and orchards in Ohio has neared an end, we pray that our siblings in Tanzania and in neighboring countries may experience successful planting as they prepare for the upcoming rainy season. Allow the land to rest and recover where seasons turn cold, and provide for the seeds of a bountiful harvest where spring is coming. Rekindle our committed to care for the earth, merciful God.
Receive our prayer. Let the feeble nations of this earth tremble at your holy presence. Tear open the heavens and come, Lord Jesus, that justice and liberation may prevail in all corners of the earth, especially in Ukraine and Russia, nations in Saharan and sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, Haiti, and the Middle East, including Israel and Gaza. We pray for ceasefires, the release of hostages, the protection for civilians, and an end to all war wherever it rages. Teach righteousness to corrupt leaders and systems, and bring stability to all these areas and many others that face uncertain futures. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Be with those who keep awake at night and with difficult schedules. Nurses and first responders working overnight shifts, those who work on weekends and holidays, especially as holiday shopping hits its peak, caregivers of newborns and aging adults, including those who work difficult and often thankless jobs at assisting nursing facilities, those who are anxious, truck drivers and others who deliver goods, those who are traveling, and those who care for travelers. Reveal to all that the dark can be a place of calm and comfort filled with your presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Enrich the spirits of all who feel hopeless, fearful, and despairing. Stay close to those who await healing or relief, especially the family and friends of Jane Ness, the family and friends of Sandy Craig, Paul, Marty, Mike, Marianne, Evelyn, Bobby, Michael, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Ed, and Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We continue to pray for hostages and others unjustly held captive that wait to be freed, including in Gaza and Israel, for civilians who wait for respite and refuge from war, yes, in Israel and Gaza and in Ukraine, but also across much of this earth. Deliver all in any need. Merciful God,
you have sent out your angels and gathered your faithful people from every time and place, calling them into one fellowship of saints. Bless the witness of those who dwell in your eternal presence, especially Jane and Nancy. Console us with sure and certain hope that we will be fully reunited with these and all your saints as we wait for Christ to return. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace while avoiding Cheerios. At this time, we will continue with our gifts and our offerings.
God, our provider, by your merciful hand, abundant springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts of your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Yeah, you were right. Anyway, Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the night. Blessed are you for the promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ
is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. You remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Amen.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. Make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on this earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power and most high, power of the most high, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ tore open the heavens and came among us, and therefore we can enjoy this meal. As we await the coming of Christ, this meal gives us a foretaste of the feast to come. So gather around this table where all are most certainly welcome. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, in bread and cup you have revealed your glory for all people to see together. Nourished by this meal, send us out to proclaim your good news of liberation and release, brought to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. You may sit back down. So there was this really good joke I heard this morning during the piece. If you come eat some of these Cheerios on the floor, you will literally, how did you put it? I ruined it already. You will literally digest my sermon. That's Jack. That was good. I liked it. Because Lydia literally is eating my sermon off the floor. That's my daughter. Anyway, a few quick announcements. We had, for the month of November, framed pictures in the cabinets that you brought for All Saints Sunday. A lot of you, or most of you, have picked them up. If you still need to pick them up, they are on the desk in the secretary's office, so you can grab those today. A reminder for Adopt-A-Family Christmas tree tags. Still a lot left on that tree out there. Somebody made a really cool video and put it on Facebook about that, so you should check that out. He's getting really good at social media. Today is the last day for poinsettia orders, so if you would like to order a poinsettia, please find a sheet somewhere and put it on Tress's desk, probably. We start our Wednesday evening Advent services this week. It will be at Trinity this year at 7 p.m. So at Trinity Lutheran, that's where our Advent services are going to be. And then noisy offering last month, $321.36 that went towards capital improvement. So if you're in prayer shawl and want to go to Mill Creek, you can go at 3 p.m. on Tuesday. On Tuesday, right? Did I say Thursday? Oh, okay. Anyway, and if you do want to stay, I will be doing adult education after worship. We'll maybe learn a little bit more about that Isaiah text that enamored me this week. So, anything else this morning? And thank you for everyone who helped make the sanctuary beautiful for Advent decorations. They're Advent decorations right now. And with that, please stand as you are able to do so. The peace of God bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you. God, the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. It's okay.
No more crying there. We are.
you a cut up there of the band's noisy offerings if you go up there and dance. As followers of Christ, we know that the heavens have been torn open, and we know that Christ will return to end all suffering.
So with that, go in peace, stay awake to the needs of your neighbors, your enemies, and of the poor.
Thanks be to God.